You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Let's go to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, starting in verse number 5, says this. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. God, we pray this morning that as we share your word, I pray that you would just come and speak to your people. May this stir their hearts. May they encourage us, Lord. May they hear your voice speaking this morning. Lord, I pray that you would anoint my words and, Lord, have your way in this time. Bless all those who are here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this passage of scripture is from the book of Isaiah. And this passage is a prophetic passage which speaks to the coming Messiah, the coming of Jesus. And it speaks to his function, his purpose, what it was he was going to do and what he was going to achieve. It's one of many Old Testament passages that prophetically speak into the life of Jesus, the one that was to come. And I would like to suggest to everybody here today that if you are in Christ, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are a Christian today, then today we are now living extensions of that same purpose that he came to fulfill. That same prophetic word given of him in Isaiah is the same role and function. If we are in Christ, we now get to live out with our own lives. So I want to just take some time to fire through this passage, just work our way through it, to encourage you and stir you this morning, no matter where you're at on the journey. I pray this puts faith and courage and encouragement into your heart as you continue to live for God. Does that sound good? Amen. You're with, so a few people are with me. We're going to get there. It's awesome. Let me encourage you. Here's the first thing. In Christ, number one, you are called. You are called. I have called you, says the Lord. I remember when I felt God really calling me to follow him and to know him. I didn't know God. I didn't grow up in a family that went to church or anything, but I felt God stirring and calling my heart to follow him. And then I started the journey with him, and I was a youth pastor for 1 year. I'd committed to give 1 year of my life to serving the church and being a youth pastor. And then in the first three months of that year, God spoke to me so clearly, so deeply, like to the depth of my soul. And he just said simply, Steve, give your life to this. It was an undeniable call of God to serve him with my life. And church, that word has sustained me for over 20 years now. Say, God, you're the one that called me to this. You're the one that asked me to this. And what a joy it is to be called. And here's what that call has also done for me. It's reminded me that I'm not here because of me. I'm not doing what I'm doing because of me. I'm not here because of my awesomeness, although I'm pretty awesome. I'm not even here because of my inadequacy or my failing. I'm here because by God's grace, he called me to be part of this. He called me to follow him and know him. And here's something else I've realized. God hasn't just called me to ministry. God's called me to be a father. I've got children. And it's a calling to be a father. God's called me to be a husband. And I want to speak to the mums in the room today, because some of you are thinking, man, what am I even doing? You know, I know that's what every parent feels like when you have children. I have no idea what I'm doing. Can I encourage you, mums, this morning? God has called you to be a mother. You are called into that space. It is a high and holy and beautiful calling that God has upon your life. It is not just a function. It is a calling of God. God has called you. And what a joy it is to be called. It's greater than any job you might have, any paycheck you might get, any other purpose you might find with your life, to be called by God. And here's the cool thing. You're not just called, but number two, you're called for a purpose. You're called for a purpose. Says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I don't know if you've ever experienced a moment where you're in a space or in a room, maybe in a meeting or in a different place, and you think to yourself, what am I even doing here? I feel like I'm just taking up space. I'm not adding any value. I don't know why I'm even sitting in this room. I have had that moment every single time I sit in parent-teacher interviews. Like when people used to ask me, "Oh, who's your son's teacher?" I'm like, "Have we lost me? No, we're back." I was like, "I have no idea who their teacher is. What's their name? Teacher? I don't know. I know they go to school. I know which school they go to. That's as far as I go." So I'm sitting in parent-teacher interview. Like, I don't know how to help them with their homework. It's like, "Dad, can you help with maths?" No, I can't. It's not in my wheelhouse. It's outside of my scope. That was not in the brief. Bex is the one that helps them with the homework. She knows what she's doing. I just know they go to school. That's all I know. And we'll be sitting in parent-teacher interviews, and I don't know what subjects they're doing. I don't know who their teacher is. I don't know. All I was like, are they good or are they naughty? That's all I want to know. Are they passing or are they failing? Like, do they get on with other people? So the amount of times I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I have no idea what I'm even. I'm just nodding and smiling like I'm a very engaged, interested parent with the teacher. And I realize those moments, man, I'm just taking up space. There's no value to me kind of being in this room. Even my kids have got to the point now when there's parent-teacher interviews, they say, "Dad, you probably don't need to come." They literally say that to me. "Dad, just leave it to Mum. She can take care of that." You know, church, you aren't just called by God to take up space. You're not just called by God to come and sit in a pew on a Sunday. You're not just called by God to just occupy a territory. "Oh yeah, God's called me, but that's the extent of all." No. God has called you for a purpose in Him. There is a righteous purpose for your life, and it's every single day. God's got a righteous purpose for you in your family, in your workplace, at your gym, in your sports team, in your small group. There is a purpose to your life. Every one of you is wired and gifted and graced by God with unique talents and abilities and purposes and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God's intention for you is that He calls you that you would bring value to whatever space you're in, because there is righteous purpose to your life. And mums, I want to speak to you for a minute, because I know that in the season of being a mum, it can often feel like you're in a holding pattern. Like the purpose of God was before you became a mum, because you were involved and you did all this cool stuff and you're helping people and serving and whatever. And now you're just holding on, waiting till your kids aren't consuming every moment of your life so that then you can step back into God's purpose for your life. Can I tell you, friends, that is not true. That is a lie. That is totally false. God has got purpose for you right where you are. It is not a holding pattern. It is not a time of nothingness. It is the most purposeful season of your life, that you would give of yourself for this season to invest in the next generation, to sow the goodness and the grace of God, to care for God's creation, to love them, and not just to occupy that space, but there is purpose for you in it. Whether you're at home, church, at work, you are called. Don't just occupy space, transform it. Bring what you carry and add value to every space. Bring God into every moment. He's got a righteous purpose for you right where you are. And for some of the mums in the room, that is going to be the greatest revelation you get all year. It's just simply, I'm not just taking up time and space in the season of being a mum. Actually, this is going to be the most purposeful, fruitful season of your life as you discover God's called you to it and He's got purpose for you in it. Never lose sight of that. Even in the ordinary, the mundane, the menial tasks of the day, understand that is God's purpose for you right there. Here's my third thought. In Christ, we are called. We're called for a purpose. But not only that, we are also strengthened in that purpose. We are strengthened. He says, "I will take hold of your hands." I want to show you that God doesn't just offer to us His saving grace, but He also offers to us His sustaining grace. He calls you and saves you, but He's also going to sustain you along the way. You do not go alone on this journey. Earlier this year, I took my mum to the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo at Eden Park. Now, this is a big concert where military bands from around the world play. There's pipes and there's drums, and we've got a very, very deep, rich Scottish history to our family. And so I'm like all about the bagpipes. I can't wait for the day we have bagpipes in worship. That's like going to be the greatest day of my life. Every time I hear them, I'm like, I need to learn the bagpipes. And then I realize I've got ADHD, so I'll learn it for a day and then I'll move on to something else. But we went to the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo, and it was a great experience for me and Mom, and it was a real bucket list item for her. She'd never been to Eden Park before, so it was this cool opportunity just to go, and it was a wonderful concert. It's the first time I've ever been at Eden Park and looked to my right and seen someone knitting. Like, normally it's like, all blacks, yeah. And then it's just Auntie Joan over there just knitting, just time of her life. But as the event came to a close, we began to get up to leave, right? And like, my mom's in her late 70s, she's got dodgy knees. And also, you're like, if you're in an environment like, I'm not calling my mom out, she's an athlete, she works out every single day, she lifts weights every single day, she's a weapon. Don't challenge her to a plank competition, she will destroy you anyway. We're leaving the stadium, and like, when you haven't been in a space like before, and it's chaos, this is like thousands of people all trying to leave the stadium. And so what my mom did was she grabbed onto my arm. She grabbed onto my arm and like did, like, it was like the grip of death. Yeah, you know, it was a vice grip, you know. You know, as you get older, you get stronger. I always say to my kids, like, you may be faster, but you'll never be stronger than me. I'm getting that old man strength. Mum holds on to me, and we're walking out of the stadium. She could get herself out. That wasn't a problem. She could, under her own steam, take herself out of the stadium. But what she needed was some stability. What she needed was to hold on to something that was stable. What she needed was someone who knew the way out. What she needed was someone who was a bit taller, and God blessed me with height. Thank you, Jesus. And normally when I'm in a crowd, I can see above the crowd. I know where the exit signs are. I can look ahead. I know where we're going. Also, I know the way out. I know where we park the car. I know which exit we're going to go to. I know how to get to the car. And so all she did was hold on to my arm, and I just walked her out of that stadium. Why? Because I had perspective. I knew the way. I could offer strength. I could offer stability. I was the one that was helping her navigate where she needed to go. And this church is a picture of our walk with God. God doesn't just call us and then send us out and go, hey, all the best. I want you to go change the world. Have fun. No, he's like, I want you to go do this, but I will hold you by the hand. I will strengthen you in it. He promises to go with us and to strengthen us to walk out that which he's called us to do. And there have been many seasons on my journey where things have gotten difficult and things have gotten tough. And I've realized in that moment, I let go of the hand of God. And I was trying to do it in my own strength, in my own way, in my own ability. I was trying to figure it out myself, not realizing that there was a strengthening hand of God that I could walk this journey with. There are many things you're going to go through in this life that are difficult and challenging. Hardship is part of life. And there are some things you're going to go through that are beyond you to handle. That's why you don't go alone. You go holding the very hand of God, connected to him, holding to him, not deviating, not moving, saying, God, I'm not going anywhere unless I'm grabbed onto your hand. Don't let go of the hand of God. Mums, this is a tough season. If you got young kids in the house, I'm praying for you. It's a difficult season. Don't let go of the hand of God. He will sustain you and strengthen you in the midst of that calling. In Christ, we are called. We're called for a purpose. We're strengthened in it. And not only that, we are also covered by God. We are covered by God. He says this, I will keep you. I will keep you. That word keep in the Hebrew is the word nastar. And it means this. It means to watch over, to guard, and to preserve. Not only is he strengthening you, but he's also overwatch over your life. Mums seem to possess this incredible superpower of being able to spot risks and threats to their children before anyone has any idea. Like we had friends of ours come over to our house the other day. They got young kids, and our kids are growing now, so we've moved out of that season. But they come in the house, and it's like the Secret Service just showed up. And they're going through the house, and they're moving vases, they're covering plugs, they're like shifting, that's going to go in a mouth, that can't go there. They're like, I'm just sitting there going, wow, like this is, I forgot that was what it was like, right? And they're just, it's like they're sweeping the house for terrorists and bugs, like checking the phone lines, looking in the light fittings. They're just like, it's incredible. And then they're removing all these hazards and risks before they even bring their kids into the room. And then not only that, once the kids are in the room, we're chatting, we're having a cup of tea, but they are constantly like out of the corner of their eye. It's like one eye's here, one eye's there. They're like they're constantly watching their children. And before the kid even gets into trouble, they've already got up and they're moving stuff. Or they're grabbing the kid, no, drag you back over here. None of you drag your children, I know that. That's old school. The good old days. Someone just said stop from the front row. I shall listen to that. The kids have no idea that there's danger, or that danger has been eliminated, or that threats have been taken away. They just go on with their life, but they have no idea. You know this concept of God covering us and watching over us. It's like this military function that they have where a unit will be going through a street or a town or a part of a city. And what they do is they set up, while the army guys are on the ground going house to house, what they do is they set up what's called overwatch. Overwatch is a sniper in a high building. And that sniper has a totally different perspective. They're seeing the whole battlefield while these guys are on the ground. They only see house to house, room to room, street to street. The overwatch is looking and they are eliminating threats before they even come into contact. Before they even see them, there are things that are being dealt with before those people even get into the space. They may not even realize that they have been looked after and overwatched and protected along the way. Church, you've got to understand there are some battles that you are going to have to walk through and God will strengthen you in that fight. But there are also battles that are taking place that you don't even see. There is a God that watches over you if he's called you to his purpose to live his life for him. He is going to be watching over you and making sure that there are things that come against you or towards you that don't even get close to your life. You're not even going to know they're there. The Bible says we are in a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in an unseen realm. You know what that tells me? Your husband is not your enemy. Husbands, don't look at your wife. Don't breathe. Do nothing. Your children are not your enemy. Your friends are not your enemy. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not those around us. We're in a spiritual battle. And God says that he is keeping watch over you. And there are some things you will have to walk through, but there are so many other things you're trusted to the hand of God that he's keeping you. And guess what? He does not sleep and he does not slumber. Wow. Don't fear the devil. God will strengthen you in the fights you've got to fight. He's bigger, he's greater, he's got your back, he's overwatch over your life, and he is taking care of business. And here's my last thought here. Band, you guys can come. In Christ we are called, we're called for a purpose. We're strengthened in it, we're covered in it, but here's the ultimate purpose. Why? To bring redemption to this world. It says this, to open blind eyes, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Each of us here, mums, you too, here is our job. If you're a follower of Jesus, here is our job. Our job is to partner in the work of God to make all things new. To release from captivity those who are held. To open blind eyes. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To take from the darkness of the dungeons of this life and this world and bring people out into a place of freedom. God has called you. He's purposed your life. He's going to strengthen you and cover you. Why? Because he wants to use your life to bring redemption to the world around you. To partner with him to make all things new. bring heaven to earth. In your home, in your workplace, in your church, in your community, your small group, whatever spaces you might find yourself, your mums and bubs group, your coffee group, to go, God, how do you want to use my life to bring heaven to earth here? To make all things new. Who around me is still sitting in darkness? Who around me has not been set at liberty by God and His Spirit? Who around me is still sitting in the dungeon and prison of addiction and shame and guilt and sin? That God is wanting to use my life to make all things new. I don't know what your family history is. I don't know what your story is. I don't know what's going on in your world, what you're walking through right now, but be encouraged that in Christ, no matter where you are, no matter what your current position, God wants to use your life to make all things new. So who in your world is God wanting to bring His redemption to through your life? As you walk out of this place today, as we celebrate the Mother's Day, as we go and have meals with our moms and our family, as we go into our work week this week, understand this, God's called you. There's a purpose to your life. No matter where you are, what you're doing, no matter what stage, He's going to strengthen you. You're not going alone, so keep hold of His hand. He's going to cover you and watch over your life and your coming and your going, and He will not sleep, He will not slumber. He's constantly watching. And God wants to bring redemption to people through you to make all things new. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful. We're grateful that it's by Your call that we come, that we move, and that we have our being. Thank You that You are gracious and kind enough that You would call us. And I pray upon every person here, and particularly the mums, help them to know that they are called to that. You have called them. They're not in that spot just because it happened to be. No, they're there because You called them to that function, to that role, to that calling. And God, there is a purpose for each of us in that. Lord, You've wired us, gifted us differently, uniquely, that we would add value and bring a difference to the places that we are, that there's a righteous purpose for us. God, I pray that each in this room would know the strengthening of the hand of God on their lives. As we walk through the difficulties and the challenges, God, I thank You that we do not walk alone. You know the way. You are our strength, our stability. You are our strong tower and our fortress. And God, I thank You that You watch over Your people, that there are battles that are being fought that we don't even see. And I'm grateful, Lord, that You watch over us. And Lord, I pray that You'd help each of us to live that life of redemptive purpose to this world. Show us the people, Lord, that You want us to bring heaven to open blind eyes, to release people from the dungeons of this life, and to know that they would be set free in You, not because of us, but because of You. And I pray this particularly over the mums. Pray for each of those who are here that are our mothers, grandmothers. Lord, that You just bless them. We honor You for them, Lord, and we honor them. Often overlooked, often underappreciated, but Lord, You see the role they play, and I pray You bless them. Pray for those who are still dreaming and hoping to be parents. I just pray You bless them, Lord. Bless them. Pray for those who are spiritual mums in the house. Help us to speak life and encouragement to the next generation and teach of Your ways to those coming after us. And I ask this all in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.